Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday service this morning. I trust that this morning, as you worship and we're making great the name of the Lord, that you just stood in awe of his greatness and his power and his majesty. And excited to be with you this morning and trusting God just to be in our midst and our lives this morning as we fellowship together via Zoom. Let's just pray and then we can get into the word for this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. We thank you, God, for your presence in every house, that every household, Father God, is just experiencing your glory and your power and your majesty. We thank you for your love. Lord, as we lift up the name of Jesus, as we glorify you, Father, we thank you that the heavens and the earth will know that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, we thank you for your glory and your power and your majesty upon us at this time. God, we just lift up the Maria family. We just thank you, Lord God, even as Tristan is in theater, Lord, just for your hand. And if we can just agree, Father, I thank you, Lord. We just thank you that your hand is on that operation and that we will receive a good report and just a report of your glory and your majesty in that situation. So in faith, we stretch out our hands to him. We thank you, Lord, for healing. We thank you, Lord, for your miraculous power and your anointing in that place. And we thank you for your glory, Lord. Thank you for the surgeons, just your hand upon them as they operate. And Lord God, we just thank you that you are in charge of this operation. We just pray also your peace over Jean and Lazan in the name of Jesus and the rest of the family. We just thank you, Lord, for your covering over them at this time. And Father, I also pray for just your covering over every family as we gather together this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, you would have seen this week my slide, the advert on Facebook. And I'm not sure what the reaction was. I probably, it would have been interesting to hear some of the comments on my photo. And I just want to take a moment this morning just to maybe elaborate why I chose this photo. I think most people, when they look at this photo, they probably say, you know, okay, so he's going to talk about evolution this morning. And that cannot be farther from the truth. But as I looked at this photo and in the context of what I'm going to preach about this morning, you know, the fact that not as the world, and you will see it's not of the world, it says not as the world. So I'm having another scripture in mind here this morning, but just this picture, what this picture reflects for me is just the difference between us and the world. You know, that we are a peculiar people, that we have been separated. Yes, we used to be like the world when we were part of the world, you know, having the same concerns and struggles and everything that the world has, you know, even battling mentally with the same, in the same way as the world. But since Christ came into our life, we are now not the same anymore, and we can have the joy as this girl has this absolute joy. I don't know if she's laughing at the monkey, but she has this incredible joy that's just upon her, and I believe this is the same that needs to be on our lives. And I just want to read a portion of scripture for you quickly. In John 17, verse 14 to 18, it's not on my slide, so... Okay, just says this, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. I have given and delivered to them your word, your message, and the world has hated them. What a contrast. You know, Jesus says, I've given them your word, and the world hates them. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. Because they are not of the world, do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world. So there's the reason why. 15, verse 15. I do not ask that you will take them out of the world, but that you will keep them and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, worldly, belonging to the world, which is in brackets, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, and make them holy by truth. Your word is truth. I love this verse 17. It says, purify them, consecrate, separate them for yourself. And you know, I believe even as we are in the midst of what we're going through, there's a purification. There's God is just busy in our inner man, even taking us, can I say, reluctantly to the next level, so to speak, even in ourselves, just in our own holiness, being changed from glory to glory. And I believe just God at the time just wants to stir this joy in the midst of everything that is going on this morning. So I just want to, and that was John 17, but I sort of want to rewind a bit. John 13, if we look at John, and I mean last week, weekend, and we had the death and the resurrection of Christ, and we looked at that in full, and John 13 and 14 and so on sort of adds on to that. And I just want to have a bit of a recap in the context of the message, and I'll get to the points just now. But in John 13, we see the following happening, where Jesus is eating a meal with his disciples, as per usual. But then something peculiar happens when, during this meal, Jesus gets up, puts a robe around him, and starts washing his disciples' feet, which was not what's supposed to happen by the rabbi. He's not the one that's supposed to wash the feet. And then during that time, you know, he also says that we should do the same for one another. So he was modeling the way that we need to even serve one another, that a position or so is not something that is important, but that we should serve one another. At this meal, he also announces his betrayer. I'm sure that must have been a very difficult time for him to say, but Judas will be the one who's going to betray me. And then John doesn't say this so specifically, but in Mark and the other Gospels, we see that Jesus here now institutes the communion and says, listen, as often as you use this, you need to think of me. And then he says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, and that as you love one another, that the testimony of your love and your compassion, your serving one with one another, will testify to the world that you are my disciples. And then obviously he foretells the fact that Peter was going to deny him. And I'm sure for Peter, that must have been quite a shock. Now, verse 14, we'll look at some of the scriptures in verse 14 now. And then obviously, John 15 is the most powerful prayer that Jesus prays for us. You know, he says that we and the Father, you know, that we will be one as he is and the Father is one. And that we cannot do anything unless we abide in the vine, unless we are part of what God is doing. You know, we need to be grafted in, we need to draw strength from that vine, and therefore we will be able to bear fruit. But I just want to quickly recap Jesus's ministry, just to understand what is happening. And if we look at the Gospels, then we see Jesus, obviously, he goes out and he calls his disciples, either, you know, one by one, or he calls them two by two, and he says, listen, I need you to come and follow me. And then he communicates to them something very specific in the fact that, you know, he will make them fishers of men, that they will not work and operate in this world as they used to, but they will now fish in a different way. They will now become fishers of men. And so in other words, he gives them a very clear vision of what is about to happen. And then he leads them through lots of glorious times. You know, they see miracles. They see Jesus preaching. He sees them teaching. You know, fantastic moments with Jesus as they walk with him through that time. And I must say, it must have probably been absolutely amazing to be with Jesus at the time as he moves, as he teaches. And then they also see something else. Not just the teaching, but the fact that he clashes quite a bit with the religious people of the time. Now, what is interesting to me when I thought about this is that I don't read so much that Jesus clashes with Rome as much as he clashes with the religious of the time. That's quite peculiar to me. Is that, wow, you know, here's the Son of God. They expected the one who's supposed to come and sort out Rome and take out Rome. And that's the last thing that happens. He has actually very little interaction with Rome. And now when we get to chapter 13, you know, he's just he's just having this meal with his disciples. And at this meal, he also says to them, listen, I'm going to leave. And what a shock. What a shock that must have been to them. Obviously, he's been prepping them. He was saying, I have to go to my father, etc. And he's saying to them, listen, I'm going away. Now, in John 14, verse 1, I just want to lift up this one scripture. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And I can just imagine that the disciples would have had this response. Excuse me, Lord, you're saying that you are leaving us. You know, we were waiting for you to become our Messiah, to free us from Rome. And what? You are about to leave? How is this possible? Why must we not let our hearts be troubled? You are leaving us and you will not be with us anymore. How can we not worry? But chapter 14 is such a powerful portion of scripture where, you know, after he now says to them, I'm leaving, he also says to them, what is going to happen? Again, you know, as with the beginning, and he states to them that, you know, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Here again, he sort of casts the vision and he says, this is what is about to happen. So I just want to go through a few scriptures in John 14 just to show you and myself what God is actually saying to us. In verse 2, after Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, he continues, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare this place for you. In verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself. Wow. So God is saying, Jesus is saying, listen, yes, I might be going away, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm setting things in place, and when I'm done, I'm coming to fetch you. In verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, he's saying, listen, for the way forward, do not look anywhere else. Do not look for anything else. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm going to prepare a way for you, a place for you. I'm going to prepare everything, and then I'm coming back, and I'm coming to fetch you. But don't worry. Don't stress. Just look to me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can come to the Father if you look to me, if your eyes are firmly fixed upon me. And then verse 16, skipping a couple of verses there, John 14, 16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. How powerful is that? Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to prepare this place for you, but I'm sending you this helper, the Holy Spirit, that will come, that I will ask the Father to send you so that I won't leave you alone. In verse 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Such a reassuring message for the disciples here at this time. You know, God has a plan. His desire is for us. He wants to, you know, he's not leaving us as orphans. He's giving us the Spirit to dwell with us. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're gonna celebrate Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came. And you know, as we sit here this morning, each one of us, we have received the Spirit of God. We are anointed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then verse 27. It's almost like he's picking up where he started off the chapter in verse 1. And he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be afraid. And this is obviously the portion of scripture that I'm referring to on the slide, in the opening slide. You know, not as the world. The peace that God gives us is not as the world. It's not the same thing. And I think sometimes we can get confused between the two. The peace that God gives and the peace that we receive from the world. And so I think sometimes, you know, in our walk before God, we desire the peace of God, but we're pursuing the peace of the world. We want to see things happening in a world instead of looking to Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. What a powerful statement that actually is. Now, let not your hearts be. What does it mean to us? I mean, what Jesus was saying to them, and I'm sure Jesus was not oblivious of the fact that the disciples were going to face persecution and whippings and, you know, imprisonment, and they weren't going to get dispersed. You know, he knew Saul was going to come onto the scene and wreak havoc under the Christians at that time. So he says, listen, let not your hearts be troubled. And then he gives them a very clear message that I am actually in control. I've got a plan. Everything is placed. Provision has been made. And I will even send you the Holy Spirit to empower you, to help you deal with whatever is coming. Now just think of this. If you and I were in that room with Jesus, he dies, he's crucified, he dies. We see him alive again. We are expectant. What would that have been like? And then we receive the Holy Spirit. Peter preaches, 3,000 comes to Christ. And then what happens? Persecution. Paul comes into the scene. And then these words of Jesus become so relevant, so powerful to them in that moment. You know, when he said it to them, they probably went, yeah, okay, thank you, Lord. We get that. But I think it actually truly became relevant to them when they started facing the challenges of the time at that which they were facing. Okay? He says, I will give you strength. I will give you the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's saying that, man, I'm giving you everything that you need for the next season. To go through whatever is coming your way, I've already given you everything that you need. How powerful is that? What I love about that statement where it says, let not your heart be troubled. I just want to focus for a moment there on the let not. Let not. Do not allow your heart to be troubled. And I think sometimes through circumstances, through the stuff that we face, we actually allow it to come into our lives and trouble us. So it's almost like Jesus is saying, man, I need you to guard your heart. I need you to stand up. I need you to put up protection so that your heart will not be troubled. Put a shield around. And how do we put that shield? We apply everything that Jesus just said. The fact that he's prepared a way, that he's in charge, that he's got a plan, and that I'm looking to him. And this is where Jesus is saying, listen, believe in me, but believe in God, believe also in me. You know, it's that matter of when the things come, when the uncertainty comes, when the trials come, when everything comes our way, that Jesus is saying, listen, let not your heart be troubled. Do not allow your heart to be troubled. Do you understand that you and I have a responsibility not to let that happen? That you and I need to put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, that we actually need to position ourselves in Christ in opposing the stuff that is coming against us. That we're standing, like Ephesians said, and having done all, you stand. Do not allow this discouragement, this uncertainty, the fear to come into you. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus knew what was coming. He knew there was troubles. Just to make sure that in your and my life, he knows what is coming. My heart goes out to Jean and Lazon. But I know God knew that this is coming. And I'm not saying this is necessarily his will, but I know he's with them in this situation. And I'm sure we're still going to see and hear the testimonies of what God is doing in their midst. So we receive encouragement, or the disciples in this case, receives encouragement from Jesus, saying, listen, just be strong. Obviously thinking of Joshua, where God three times says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Man, come on, you need to be strong, young man, because you knew what was coming. So how is it possible for them to fight through the persecution? How is it possible for them to stand through all these things that were coming their way? And there's three answers, and I've alluded to some of them as I've been sharing. But there's three things. The first thing is believe in God. The second thing is believe also in me. Believe in Jesus, the Son of God. And the third one is the peace that he leaves with us. Not the peace of this world, but the peace that is not of this world. So I just want to focus on those three just quickly. And the first one is believe in God. Believe in God. Believe in the only true God. Believe in God the Father who loves you, who are willing to send his Son to die for you. Do not believe in any other God. That's what Jesus is saying there. He's saying, listen, I need you to focus. You know, almost that sense where you take your son, you know, or your daughter, and you're trying to speak to them. I don't know if you're a parent, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, they just so, you know, they busy with their own thing, and they would just want to do their own thing, and you're trying to get them to get into the car, for instance, now, you know, or to clean up their room, and then you walk over to them, and you take them by the face. You say, look at me. Go clean your room. How many times have we not done that? You know, especially boys, boys have to take from my body. And this is almost like this, that what Jesus is saying here, is I don't want you to focus on anything else. I want to want you to focus your faith. I want you to focus your trust, your gaze on the Father, God Almighty, to whom nothing is impossible. You know, sometimes I wonder if we as Christians truly believe that for God nothing is impossible. And we really need to trust God the Father. We need to believe in God. He's the one who wants to protect us. He's the one who will carry you through everything. He's the one who will surround you from every side. And then he says, believe also in me. Believe in the Father, but believe also in me. Jesus, the Son of God. The one who was about to accomplish victory over sin and death at that time. He's saying, believe in me. Believe in what I am about to do for you. Believe what I am establishing for you as a child of God. The fact that I'm reconciling you with the Father. Believe in me that the door is open. Even as that curtain tore, and they were able to walk into the Holy of Holies. You know, Jesus is saying, believe in me because I am opening the door. He says this, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he says, believe in God, but believe also. Again, where is your faith? Where is the focus of your faith? Has it shifted on the fact that Jesus is your salvation? He's the one who delivers you. He's the one who sets you free. He's the one who heals you. He's the one who lifts you up. He's the one who comes around you. Or has our focus shifted to something else? You know, that one song that we sang, it said something to the line of, you know, nothing else is required. It is finished. It was enough. What Jesus did on that cross was sufficient to give us everything that God wants to give us. So Jesus opens this way to the Father. And Scripture also says, you know, that he continues to intercede for us, that he prays for us continually. He's continually before the Father, interceding for you and me. What a privilege to know. What an amazing thought to know that Jesus is there. He's my intercessor. He's looking out for my interests. Wow. He did not just die for me. This kind of blows my mind. That he's actually before the Father. He's going, but I'm thinking of Caleb. I'm thinking of Jemuel. I'm thinking of whatever your name is. This morning you are on his mind. And then the third thing. He says, peace. Now, if I think, you know, as a Christian, if you think about peace, you can't help of thinking of Revelation, and it says, you know, everybody will say peace, peace, and then suddenly destruction will come upon them and so on. But this peace that God is giving us is incredible. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now just think of that. It's not like he's leaving it here and it's sort of a try and find it kind of thing. He says, I'm giving it to you. If I come to you and I say, here's $100 and I give it to you, you can receive it. And in the same way, similarly, I guess, Jesus is saying, listen, I'm giving you my peace. I am the source of peace. I'm the one who will untangle you from this world completely, who will save you, will deliver you through my peace in this world. I will free you from the ambitions of the world, for the craving of wealth and even the fear of poverty. You will free us from the charm of the world. And listen, we can all agree that this world has a charm. The things around us constantly would like to distract us from actually believing in God, believing in Jesus, and walking in his peace. See, we do not receive the world's peace. You know, the world's peace says, you know, we have peace when everything is fine. When everything is okay and it's going honky-dory, you know, and we don't have troubles or so on. There's no wars and no diseases and everything is just fine. Then we have peace. But God is saying, listen, in the midst of great adversity, in the midst of great trouble, I give you my peace. So he's not saying that he's removing us. He just says my peace is different from the one that the world gives. And it's interesting to me in the scripture, in Jesus saying that, you know, I give you my peace, not as the world gives you. It's so interesting to me that he clearly opposes the peace that the world gives or offers. He says, my peace are different. So interesting to me that it brings that separation, that there is a difference. You cannot and you should not look at the two and think they're the same. They are definitely different. You say, listen, I'm giving you my peace, not as the world gives you. So do not look at the world. Do not look at the things of this world. Do not seek peace in the way that those that do not know God, that is not passionate about God, that doesn't believe in God, do not seek peace in the same way that they do. We cannot do the same. What Jesus offers us is nothing like this world. Nothing. In order for us to have a heart that is not troubled, we need to believe in God. We need to believe in Jesus. And we need to receive the gift of peace that he offers. You know, and then we need to not let our hearts be troubled. We need to reject the peace of the world. We need to oppose the way the world wants to bring this to our world. We need to look to the world. When we look to the world, we cannot look to Jesus. There is a contrast. We cannot say that I'm following Christ, but I'm actually looking to the world. I cannot pursue the things of this world and the Christ at the same time. Because scripture says, what relationship has light with darkness? And I think for us saints, we need to be careful at this time. Even as we face the coronavirus and everything that is around that, we need to be careful not to seek peace in the same way as the world. You know, what's so quite interesting, and let me just say this. It's funny how in these times there's lots of prophecies and people popping out everywhere with the word from the Lord. Can I just ask you to discern where that is coming from and who that person is and you know, whether they are really speaking on God's behalf? Even in scripture we see there was a lot of false prophets and God opposes them quite severely. And can we just discern what God is saying to us at this moment? Because even in, if we receive a false word, if we receive a word that is not from the word, that really from the Lord, that can distract us and even pull us further away from God than actually lead us to Him. So can I just ask you, now I heard, what's that guy's name? In any case, he was saying that we almost have a culture where in order to hear God, where we listen to all sorts of, you know, YouTube clips and Facebook clips and you name it. We get clips from everywhere where people are saying, this is what I believe God is saying. And the one thing that we need to know is that if God says something, it will resonate within our spirits, especially if we're walking with God. And if I have a relationship with Him, then I will hear and it will confirm, it will resonate with what God is saying to us at this time. So please just be careful. Because the last thing that I want us to happen is for us to become distracted because of false words from the Lord. So be careful to just listen to anything that comes your way, because then your heart will be troubled. Now, as we face this season, you know, I'm sure some of us, you know, took some strain when they said there's an extra 2 weeks, and the reality is we don't know what is coming after these 2 weeks. I just want to encourage you to do as Christ said, and do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Pursue Him above everything else. Get rid of things that are distracting you from receiving God's peace in your life. Because the reality is God is still in control. He is still Almighty God. And we need to put all our faith in Him every day. He is for us. He has prepared a place for us. He's going to come and fetch us. But until then, He has given us His Holy Spirit. That deposit. Now that powerful Holy Spirit that can minister through you and me to so many. We will see the hand of God move in us and through us at the time. So do not let your heart be troubled. But let your heart be full of faith. Believe in God. You will see the hand of God move. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank You. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You, Jesus, for what You accomplished. Thank You even for Your words before You went to the cross. And You say so many times before that I'm saying these things to You so that when it happens, You will know that I am God. That I am He, Jesus, the one who saves us. And this morning, Lord, we just want to repent of our unbelief and to look into other things and sources. God, we want to focus on You again. Lord, we pray that You will deliver us from ourselves even, our own fears, our own unbelief. But Lord, You will set our feet on the rock this morning. Set our feet on the rock again. We thank You, Lord, that You give us peace, not as this world gives. Jesus, I thank You just for Your freedom. And even in the midst of this, the situation that we're facing as the world right now, we thank You for Your peace that rules and reigns in our hearts and in our minds. Thank You, God, that You are over us, that You are our God. And Father, I just pray for every family. I just thank You, Lord, that You will heal those that need healing. If you are sick this morning, I just want you to just raise your hands in faith and just receive. So Father, we just want to pray for every person that is sick. And we just speak Your healing over them this morning. And I thank You, Father, that they will feel better. And we declare it in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray for protection over every family. Where the enemy wants to come and steal and kill and destroy, we just thank You, Lord, for Your covering over every person in this church in Jesus' name. And even those that are streaming in today, I just want to pray, Father God, just Your covering and Your blessing over them. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your love. You love us so much. Lord, we give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as you sit there, we just want to share quickly couple of words that has come in from the leaders as we worshiped earlier. We just want to share with you what they have been saying, what we feel God is saying to us at this time. So I'm just going to ask Laurie to read out these messages for us, or to play the video.
To of why everyone just did in worship. I just had a picture of it's almost like a dark scene, nighttime, but it's like a, I want to say like a city, but everything is dark and it's difficult to walk because you don't know where you're going, and it's just difficult to walk and you need direction, but you don't know where to go and where you need to go. But you need to make decisions and you need to go forward, but you don't know where to go. And then on the floor there's these little golden, bright shining little dots. It's almost like a string of tiny little dots that's lying on the ground that's showing the way. But in between people and things and stuff that is dark and you need to climb over things and underneath other stuff and all that, you need to move quick. There's these little dots and it's giving you direction. As long as you can follow that, you know you will end up at your destination where you need to go to. That was the image that I saw. And if you lose those dots, then obviously you will be lost in darkness and don't know where you need to go and what the direction would be. And the scripture that I felt that goes along with that is the scripture of Jesus, of us being rooted in the vine. If we are rooted in Jesus, in the vine, then we have life, and then we will be able. So it's within this time, within this uncertainty, to be focused and tuned into God, and be rooted in the vine, and in that you will know the direction that you need to go. And that, I don't know if it's for someone specific or maybe just for in general, but that's the picture I received during worship.
Amen. So yes, I agree with that, being rooted in the vine and connected with God. And it's as we draw strength from him that we will know what to do. And I think for me, just in light of the message, it's just that continual drowning ourselves and rooting ourselves in God, that we will walk in that peace.
Just also another message. I just want to say that message from Nas was received before the message was preached. And the same, Nandi actually said that this morning she literally read John 13 and 14. But also just John 11 verse 40 and then verse 43 to 44, we say Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and feet with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." For so many, the circumstances may look like Lazarus in the tomb, dead, unfixable, hopeless, buried in the tomb already, unresurrectable. She just feels that the Lord is encouraging us to have hope and faith that we will bring life out, that he will bring life out of the situation. And she just feels it may be specific to business or financial situations of people specifically.
Can we just pray for that quickly? I think if you know how to raise your hand and you feel that you know that you are concerned about your business or finances or anything at this time, can you just raise your hand for us just also to know who we're praying for? But can we call those things this morning, like Jesus called out Lazarus in that moment? Can you join your faith with me this morning and let's just pray and trust God for that to come through?
Just to go with that, as well is another encouragement from Psalm 23, verse 6. It says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mm-hmm. Just confirming his goodness. Just during worship, the picture that I saw was that of leaves with dewdrops on, but the dewdrops was oil, not water. And I just felt that God was saying that this is a new dawn. And just as he's restoring the natural, in the natural, the earth is healing and restoring, in the same way he's restoring his kingdom with a fresh anointing for what he wants to do.
Come on. So Father, we pray this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you as your sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for this position of authority even before you. Lord, and we just cast our crowns before you because we know that from you comes our help. God, we pray for everybody that feels that their situation is in a tomb like Lazarus. And in the name of Jesus, the name above every other name, we want to stand as you proclaim and call him forth. And he lived, Father God. We want to speak into every one of these situations. And we say, rise up. Come out in Jesus' name. You will not die. You will not falter. You will not fall down flat. You will not be destroyed in Jesus' name. And we call forth life into your business, into your finances. We call forth life into your health in the name of Jesus. And we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you will live. We thank you, Father, for your supernatural provision. But Lord God, I thank you, even as Lazarus came out of the tomb and he still had the death robes on, Father, but he was alive. I pray, Father God, that people will discern that even as their situation comes out, as there is still the stench of death on that situation, that there is life and that we will see it. And we call it forth this morning in the name of Jesus. We speak life into every situation. In Jesus' name. And I want to say to you, do not fear. Do not worry. Look to God and you will see the deliverance. You will see the power of God at work in your life. We thank you, Father, that these people will testify of you in years to come of just this resurrection power, this glory that came upon the situation. We thank you, Father, it looks gloomy. The grave looks terrible. And it looks shut up and it looks like it's not going to come out. And we thank you, Father, in your kingdom this will not happen. And we declare this over every person. We speak life over them and their situation in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for your glory and your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Just a final word as well. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Sure. You know, how many times in Scripture does God speak to us in the form of where the chaff gets separated from the stuff that matters? And, you know, even as God is sifting through our lives at the moment, let's allow the Spirit of God just to minister to us, to let the unimportant stuff just get taken care of and get rid of our lives. Allow the Holy Spirit, even through this difficult time, to minister to you.